and welcome to episode 40 of Checkpoint Chat. It's a new order of 10. Running out of things to say about 40 because we've driven this midlife crisis joke into the ground.
No, we haven't.
Of course we have.
When did we ever use it?
Crisis since 30.
I think we waited for 40 to drop the midlife crisis jokes.
Oh, okay. What happened? Fair enough. Yeah.
So we're in our midlife crisis.
Sorry, I'm just making quick adjustments to like the sound here because shit is going wild. Whoa. And audacity. Yeah.
What are those levels? Are we fine?
No, we're good.
We're good. Okay. We're just peaking early.
Yeah, we're peaking early. I'm just making sure that this is not an editing nightmare for me.
We got new mic stands. This is a highlight of my career on Checkpoint Chat.
It's so good.
Because let me tell you, the first 40 episodes of those stupid default out the box mic stands we got at our mics were basically actual pieces of shit.
I mean, they sucked more for you because like the problem was that they were just super low.
It's tough having a giraffe neck.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough being as tall as you, I guess. We had to put like books and stuff.
Oh my God. So, sometimes it does benefit me though. Yeah. Am I too close?
Yeah.
I want to kiss the mic.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah.
Oh, okay. There. Wow. Look at how those levels are fine now. It's almost like I was too close.
Those default mics sucked. And these ones are like heavy and more professional and I love them. And they were cheap.
The actual proper paperweights.
Yeah, exactly.
Clap some gym while we record.
Yeah, exactly. And now when you take one home, Lupin won't be able to knock this one over.
Oh, that is true. Lupin and Luna.
I wouldn't try that though. If Lupin knocks the top here, it's pretty like bottom heavy. So.
Shit, mate. Here's a fun story.
lay it on me.
Yesterday, when Lenska and I were busy watching some series on Netflix, I'm busy enjoying a Magnum ice cream. Lupin's sitting on my lap. He swiped the ice cream. I don't know why. He just got a little paw in. Like, inexplicably, we're busy having a conversation. He just turns away, looks at the ice cream, takes a claw at it. So, yeah, I don't know. If he can do that with an ice cream, he can do that with a mic.
Did he eat it afterwards?
Well, I didn't realize he had actually got a paw to it because I ate it. I was like, delicious. And then later, Lenska picked up one of the cushions. There's just melted chocolate on it. I was that wasn't me. It was clearly a swapped.
No. They melted like, and then it was so funny. And
it was funny though. No. I don't know what he did. He's like, "Eat this ice cream."
The fact that he didn't eat it afterwards is just like, fuck
no,
this ice cream.
He took he didn't. When I say swipe, I don't mean like he pocketed a piece of ice cream. He literally took a swipe at it.
He
clawed it. Yeah, he was like, "F this thing," and that's what he did.
How dare he? What an asshole.
For those of you wondering about the laughter coming through the mic, it's on our side, not yours. we have a Lenska who's sitting behind us, busy working hard.
She doesn't want to be part of the show. It's very annoying.
What are you working on?
Our wedding.
Our wedding, she says. We're at that stage of our life.
A likely story. A likely story.
But that's not... Are you on Facebook again? I'm joking.
Wow. You're like that person at work. That's like every person... Everyone in the office has someone who comes past the desk. They're like, "Oh, so you're not working right now?" You're like, "Fuck off."
My best at work is when I used to work from 7 to 3:30. I had early hours.
Oh, best.
I'd leave at 3:30 and people would be like, "Hey, half day, hey?"
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Actual maths, if it was half day, I'd leave at 12.
I used to get that bit in reverse. I used to always arrive at work at like 10 and they'd be like, "Are you having a half day today?" I'm like, fuck you guys. Because there were people in my office in my previous job who would get there at 6 and leave at 2. So when I got in at 10, they were like more than halfway through
leaving,
the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it always felt really bad when it got to 2 and they left. And I was like,
so much
time. Can't I leave now?
You got a new job though. How's that going?
Oh, it's going well. I'm still getting to work at 10. It's a great time.
So are you working those hours now from 10?
Yeah,
onward?
Yeah. Okay. So we only have to be at work within like a certain period of time.
Okay, that's nice though. Yeah. So if you really wanted, you could go earlier.
Yeah, but like getting there late and then leaving late is just so much better for traffic than... struggling. I can't get up early.
I mean, you could get there at 5 and leave at 1.
Fuck that noise. No ways. No. I go to the gym in the morning. I'm good. I'm chilled. Get to work a bit late.
Yeah, you and I have the same regime now because my hours are fixed, but they're 9:30 to 6:00. So I also have the whole morning. And when I started this whole late hours thing. Initially, I was like, because I'd come off this whole early 7 to 3:30.
Mm.
And to move to 9:30, from 9:30 to 6 was like, wow.
That traffic just must be so much better for
you. It's much better, yeah. But it's also a thing of, I'm so used to it now. Mm. I know if I really want to, I can sleep in a little bit.
Otherwise, yeah, exactly.
I always get up early and I'll run, I'll make breakfast, chill, watch something, do something, edit something. Mm. It's great.
I normally just sleep until 9. If I don't go to gym, I'm like, fuck yeah, sleep
you,
until
you
9.
And my colleagues are very similar because a lot of them are like, yeah, I woke up 20 minutes ago. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. But that's a problem because I go to bed like stupidly late. Like, yeah. I always shoot myself in the foot.
You shoot yourself in the foot?
And then go to sleep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How do you sleep with the pain?
The pain helps me sleep. I don't know. This is Checkpoint Chat. Episode 40. You can tweet at us. At Checkpoint Chat on Twitter, or you can email us, reset that counter.
I think it's been 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
It's been 3 lonely weeks in that inbox.
CheckpointChatPodcast@gmail.com. Mm. All them DMs are open. Even on Facebook. Do you even check Facebook?
I always check Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maddie, social media manager extraordinaire.
No. More like once a week, social media manager. Mondays and Fridays. I'm like, yeah,
Friday, so
I try.
Gift.
I put a lot of time to those
this
gifts.
This week wasn't like a question gift. It was just dog with floopy ears.
Yeah, I was like, it's so cute.
Yeah, it's a really
How can
dog.
I not have
really
that?
But we're here to talk about games.
Games, you say? Well, what have you? You've got, you know, actual games to talk about.
Sort of. So okay. I'm going to speak about the first one and see if I can skirt around an embargo as much as I can. And not get fired.
Please don't get fired.
So the game in question is a game that's been in early access for a very, very long time, called Astroneer. You heard about this game?
I actually haven't.
Man,
until right now.
I remember seeing this game when it was first announced for early access, and I was like, oh, that looks so cute. It looks really...
Is it adorable?
Yeah, so it reminds me a lot of a No Man's Sky thing, but it's not like billions and billions of planets, and it's not... I don't think it's procedurally generated, but it's got that sort of like vibe to it. So you're this little astronaut that pops up on a planet, and you've got a small like established base, like just a house and whatever. And you're just kind of like building it up. Your aim is to just build your stuff up and construct new
Pylons.
Things so that you can explore other planets. There's, I think, a total of like 6 planets, and each of them increases in difficulty. Like the one I'm on now, like has a lot of wind, so I can use wind for power, or lots of sun, so I can use that for power.
Mm.
And then the further I go into other planets, like it becomes a bit harder to survive.
Oh, okay.
But I say survival, but it's not like survival. You don't have to watch hunger or thirst or anything.
Okay.
There's none of that sort of shit.
So it's like casual survival.
Yeah, it's super. The only thing you have to worry about, which isn't really a worry, but is oxygen. So you've got like a backpack that has like an oxygen pack on it, and that runs out. But when you're at your base, you have this like little tether that connects to like your base, and you like constantly have oxygen.
Oh, okay.
So what you can do is then... you have this little like harvest gun that just looks like it sucks stuff in. It's really cute. It's like a little vacuum cleaner.
It's to make a vacuum cleaner noise.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it does. It literally does. It's so good.
Like, mom!
With that, you like collect resources and stuff. And with one resource, you can create tethers. Mm-hmm. So as you're walking, you just press... Well, I'm playing on PC, so I press T on the keyboard. And it drops a little tether. And if it's close enough... It connects to the oxygen line.
Because you can take your oxygen line out with you, basically.
So essentially, it's like you're leaving a breadcrumb trail from where your base is to where you're exploring. And as long as you keep these tethers, you'll never run out of oxygen.
Okay.
It's really cool because the planets are like huge.
Yeah.
So having this ability to like find your way back because you've left like this trail of tethers is really clever.
That's cool.
It's more of a clever way for navigation than an actual hindrance. And because it's like, you just press one button and it drops it,
yeah.
It's like, it's really easy.
Are the planets procedurally generated, or is it like a fixed?
I don't know. So I can't tell. And I'm especially confused because there seem to be fixed locations that are like important, you know, points of interest.
Oh, yeah?
And I can't tell if those are procedurally generated. So I'm not sure.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't think it matters because a lot of it's just like a lot of open space.
Yeah.
Essentially, you're just going out and exploring and trying to find like underground caverns to get more rare resources like aluminum and zinc and copper and whatever, so you can build bigger structures. Because, like, you start off small, like, you've only got, like, a small, like, 3D printer, essentially, and you can only print, like, small things. And then the more resources you get, the bigger objects you can start building. Like, you can build this thing that researches big rocks or, like, repurposes soil into useful resources. Yeah, exactly. And you need to build up these, like, research points through, like, investigating these rocks and finding interesting flora and fauna across the planet to unlock new structures to build.
Yeah.
And eventually then you can build a spaceship and jettison off into the next planet.
Are these just random planets or is it Mars?
No, they're random planets.
Okay.
And the what I like most about the game is just its visual style. It's super, super colorful.
Astroneer, I'm going to look it up right now.
It's super colorful, but it's also got this, like, low poly feel. But it's like, it's not, I find sometimes that when people go into low poly, which is completely an artistic thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, just sometimes it can look super bland or, like, it just looks cheap in a way.
Yeah.
Like, Astroneers looks awesome.
Ooh.
Absolutely cool. It's so, so cool. It's got some really creative, like, shapes and interesting designs to...
Okay, I see what you mean by, like, it's very poly, like...
Yeah,
it almost looks like a PS1 game, except it's, like, super polished looking.
Yeah, super polished. Yeah. But then your actual astronauts and, like, your structures, like your buggy and whatever, are, like, really detailed.
That's
cool. But, like, almost, like, cartoony detail. They've got this, like, smoothness to them, this, like, bubbly feeling to them.
I see what you mean. This is cool.
And then what's kind of cool about the game as well is that it doesn't feature any, like, menus... Like a menu system within a menu, you know. Let me explain. So, like, everything is in the game. So, like, your inventory is this backpack on you. So, you can always see what's on your inventory. And when you press, like, Q, your backpack just comes up onto the screen and you can drag and drop things onto your backpack.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So, it's a bit like, I suppose this is a bad comparison, but Dead Space, where
everything's there. Yeah, exactly. Okay. There's nothing... shown on the screen aside from, like, a marker to get back home. Like,
yeah,
all the UI is on the screen. Like,
that's cool.
When you interact with structures, you're like pulling out a console from them and activating them and then putting it back.
That's awesome.
And one of the you have to manage oxygen, but the other resource you have to kind of manage around your base is everything requires power. So it's really cute because every structure has these, like, comically oversized plugs that you click and you have to, like, drag and connect to, like, a spot, and it makes amazing little, like,
is it a
like little like noise, just like when you, like, it's so good.
Imagine
it's
being a sound designer, how much fun you can have, how badly you can screw up a sound.
It's just so, like, cartoony and great. I love it. But, like, so the more structures you build, the more energy everything's going to require. So through your travels, you can come across, like, debris which has, like, solar panels or wind generators, and you can use those to generate power, or you can burn like organic matter that you've collected in small generators. Like, it's really clever how you have to distribute power around, but it's really fun because you're taking these, like, oversized cables and connecting them physically into ports. And then, like, everything kind of runs on that. Like, your buggy has a battery. And that needs power. So you've got different ways you can approach that. What I've done now is I've put a small solar panel and a small wind generator on the back of my buggy. So it's always charged.
Oh, that's, like, clever.
As I drive, it generates wind and it charges. And then if I'm not moving, then it's generating
solar sun power.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Really cool. So
that's neat.
There's a lot. Like, this game is dense and its tutorial doesn't do a lot to explain everything to you. But there's already a really good wiki up.
Nice.
I've looked at the wiki a few times just for, like, I don't know how to get this resource and I need it for a recipe. And it's like, okay, this is, it in a way almost like Minecraft in that way, but nowhere near as dense as Minecraft.
Minecraft's too dense for me now. Can you imagine going back and starting Minecraft from scratch now?
No.
I think at the time I played it years ago, it was like the sweet spot because there was just enough to... figure out myself, but, like, one or two things, I'm like, how do I get that? Now, though, too much.
God, I look at that wiki and I get anxiety. It's
like,
it's way too much. But, Astroneer's one is pretty cool. That it could use some on the building menu, there's no descriptions for what a building does. So if it's not immediately clear on the name,
you have to build it and be like, okay, what does it do?
Yeah, and you can waste a lot of resources that way. So I think that would be a good change. But otherwise, it's so chill. Like yesterday, I played like 2 hours of it where I didn't even have the headphones on.
You're just
listening
around,
to other music and running around and doing stuff.
That's cool.
It's so chill. There's no like combat where there's enemies or whatever. It's just, and you can play co-op as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So co-op is just like you're running around with a pal.
Is it just available on PC?
I think it's coming to console.
This game would be
so good on Switch. So
10 out of 10 on Switch. I'm gonna look.
I would fucking love this game on Switch because you can just. Like the same way you did with Stardew Valley, where you just chilled out with it. You 100% could
Switch. It is coming to Switch.
Yes. I'm very excited. I will buy this game on Switch. Because I'm playing it on PC now. And it also runs really, really well. It doesn't
look like a visually intensive game. So.
But it's beautiful. It's like when the day-night cycle comes in, you see other planets orbiting yours. So you see it in the distance, like slowly moving in.
Oh, boy.
It's just, it's really, really, it's gorgeous.
Okay, it's not confirmed that it is coming to Switch, but it does say, like, there's an article saying Astrina rated for Switch. I'm sure there must have been an official, that's cool. Games like this, to me, are just, it's weird because I can't see myself sitting down behind my PC to, chill with a game like this. Whereas, if you put it on Switch, you put me in bed with it. I'm like,
You play, like, an hour.
Played before bedtime or something.
It's so good. It's really, really good. It's simple. To pick up and understand, but it's also like one of those games where it's like, okay, I just built this, what do I need to build next? Okay, I've got this, I need to get this resource and this I've never seen this resource. Where the hell am I gonna get that? And you just like, I pick a direction, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna go left from my base, and I just walk. And I put tethers down and just walking for, and I've still haven't come across an instance where I've done like a full loop of a planet.
These
things are huge.
I
got lost once because I was exploring underground cavern.
Can you not tether with that?
No. So I was tethering underground and then I thought, okay, my backpack's full, so I can't really mine anything else here. So I used my gun because your gun can like dig away at ground. Like you can create tunnels. And then you can also create like platforms. So I basically dug away at the roof and then created a platform underneath me and I just like dug my way up. And when I got up, I was nowhere near where I thought I was.
Like, oh shit.
So I had no tethers and the early connection point was now way below me. So I suffocated and died.
I was going to say, what happened? So you can actually die.
Oh yeah, you die. Yeah. So when you die, you spawn back at your base and you can go find your dead body to get your loot. I had no idea where that was, so I lost all that loot. Because, I just got up and I was like,
it's like the opposite.
I recognize none of this. I have no idea.
It's like the opposite of a Minecraft death where you dig down and you fall in lava.
Yeah.
No, you went up and you suffocated.
Like, I was like, I have no idea where I am. Like, I've done it before where I've finished all my tethers and I'm like, I'm just going to run a little bit forward to get that resource mined and come back. And I've run forward, mined it, turned around and been like, fuck, where am I? Where's my tether line? And I'm running around, and as I see it, I'm like, yes, I see it. And my guy just goes,
dead.
And he does this great little death animation. He does a little twirl on his feet, and he holds his neck, and he just goes.
He becomes Dracula.
Yeah, he becomes Dracula. It's really cute.
That's cool. Is it? So you said it was in early access for ages. Is it out?
6th of Feb.
So
this week.
So it's coming on PC. I've seen some videos where people
create these crazy biomes and
that's awesome.
Yeah, because in some planets the weather's hectic, so you have to create a glass biome to protect yourself. And fuck yeah, man! You can create a train of trailers on your little dune buggy. So put resources all on this train.
So you just drive around.
You can get a tractor.
That's cool.
As well.
Cool, man. I need to play this game.
It's cool, man. You don't have a space cat. That's the other
problem. Well, then I'm not playing this game.
Imagine how cute that would be—a little cat
space
with a
little helmet.
The dog in Mario Odyssey when you're on the moon.
The helmet and the suit and everything. So good.
And then if you Mario, you throw your whole hat and Mario somehow doesn't die in zero gravity.
No, because it's Mario, man.
But then the dog somehow also catches the hat. While he's got glass in front of him.
I know.
Mario Odyssey's bullshit.
The game defies logic. It's definitely 0 out of 10 realism.
Yeah.
If you had any doubt. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
What is Bowser anyway?
Yeah, he's a turtle.
Wrong.
On steroids.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Okay. Benoni turtle.
He's a dinosaur. A Benoni turtle. Do you have a pet buzzer in your yard?
Man, I'd love a pet buzzer. Hey, you and Linske have tortoises, hey?
We have three. We should give them steroids.
This is so cute, man. Put little spikes on their back.
Linske looks disapprovingly. Well, you're not listening to the conversation. We're making buzzers.
Yeah.
I don't know how your dad will feel about this.
You'll probably join in.
tape
little spikes to their backs, get them to fight.
Oh, no, yeah, we're starting a turtle fight club now.
Yeah.
They actually fight.
How do they fight? Do they just slowly try to bite each other?
No, there's two males and one female.
Tip each other? Yeah, they cows.
Actually tip each other, yeah. But it's like, it's done in slow-mo because it's like, they stand and then they go, huh, and they push. It's actual turtle tipping.
Oh, how have you not recorded this?
If I see it,
I really want to see this. Holy
turtle
shit.
Turtle tipping. The two males, they're like chilled and then they surprisingly aggro sometimes.
I just thought like, I thought they'd go up to each other and like their mouths like slowly open and they slowly like try biting each other.
Gently, no.
That is so funny.
Turtle
fight club.
Yeah, I'll record it next time it happens.
Except they're not turtles.
They especially the two. It's actually awful. They gang up on the female and they try to tip her. No. Like, what are you doing? Leave her alone.
You got to give them color-coded bandanas.
Bandanas.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need two more turtles.
Donatello. Oh, you have three. There's only four ninja turtles.
I know, but one's female. Who are going to make the female turtle?
There isn't a female ninja turtle, hey?
Who's the closest to female on the original OG turtle team?
I don't know. They're all very weird.
All very,
Yeah.
Mm.
Then you got to get a big rat and put him in a gi.
Fun fact, we haven't seen a mouse or a rat since the cats moved in.
Shocker.
Yeah. I don't think they've caught anything, but I think the rats are like, oh shit, we got to move.
Fuck this. Have you seen spiders still?
We actually haven't, weirdly enough.
The cats are eating the spiders.
The cats, I don't know. Maybe the spider's like, oh shit, cats.
If you really want to get rid of spiders, get chickens.
They eat spiders?
Man, they eat so many spiders.
Listen, we got to get chickens at our place.
I had a massive rain spider in my room a while back, and I'm petrified of spiders. And yeah. So
Lens goes nuts. She'll put her hand next to it. I'm like, you crazy lady.
So my mom came and grabbed this massive-ass rain spider and was going to put it outside. And as she threw it outside, it was in the pen where we have the ducks and the chickens. And she didn't think. So she threw it on the ground. And as she threw it on the ground, this chicken just sprinted. Just went, grabbed the spider and just swallowed it whole. And my mom was traumatized.
And then that chicken laid an egg and you ate the eggs. You've eaten a spider. Yeah,
I went and high-fived that fucking chicken. I was just like, yeah.
How did you high-five the chicken then? Was it the beak or the wing? You
put its wing out. It's just like, yeah.
It was like, fuck.
And seeing chickens run is so fun because they look like dinosaurs. They just like wobble. They look like velociraptors. It's so good.
Oh, my God. Well, didn't you watch or read Jurassic Park? The whole, I don't know if it's actual. Well, I think it is. Actual science is that they say dinosaurs have a lot in common with birds.
A lot of them had feathers.
You know, velociraptors.
Imagine a big chicken.
Chickens are the modern day velociraptors.
I'm just picturing a T-Rex sized chicken.
Bok, bok.
And just running at
it. Although it'd be deep, like, bok, bok.
Oh, God.
We've derailed.
Yeah. What have you been playing?
I'm still on that Bloodborne train, but I'm not going to wax lyric on that this week because.
What's the last boss you faced?
I beat Rom the spider. Fun fact.
Yes.
Fine. I'll spend 2 minutes on Bloodborne.
He's only
to tell this story. Okay, so there's a colleague at my office. Her
John
boy.
Michael?
No, not John. Not the Bloodborne Jesus himself.
Bloodborne Jesus.
Bloodborne Jesus. There's a colleague of mine. Her boyfriend's playing Bloodborne.
Okay.
And John Michael, he knows Bloodborne in and out, so he's been very careful. Like he's dying to like tell me stuff about the game, but he's just like, no, I can't spoil stuff for you. Okay. So this colleague of mine, Michelle, her boyfriend, I think him and I are very much in the same place in Bloodborne.
Okay.
So the other day she turns around, she's like, have you come across the three brothers yet?
What?
And I'm like, no, but thanks. Now I know there's three brothers in the game. Like joking, like, oh my God, you spoiled it. Now there's three brothers. Look at John Michael.
Three brothers?
No, so I look at John Michael, I'm like, three brothers, like, don't worry, there aren't three brothers in the game. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Why would she say that if there's no three brothers in the game? That very evening in Bloodborne, I get to a boss fight. It's the three shadows of
Yharnam. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So on stream, I was even like, oh, these are three brothers, Michelle, we're referring to. So I beat those assholes.
That boss fight is fucking terrible. It's hard.
It was okay. I did it on the third or fourth attempt.
I didn't realize that I shouldn't be trying to kill one first.
Okay. There are a few strategies. Yeah. My strategy... actually, the first time I came very close, believe it or not, to beating them. I think that is blind luck, though. But then my immediate reaction when I sat and thought about it, I was like... wait, did I timestamp this? Let me just confirm.
This will be the second time you haven't timestamped Bloodborne.
No, okay, I did. I just haven't written Bloodborne. So I wasn't going to talk about Bloodborne, but here we are. So just as a rule of thumb, if you ever play Pathfinder or D&D or any like RPG in that vein, it's like common knowledge to always go for the spellcaster. Because think about it. You've got the tank in front, but who's really doing the damage? It's the spellcaster at the back.
That asshole with the sword running after you.
Yeah, but in this fight, you've got that prick with these stupid fireballs all day, every day. So the first time I fought him, I didn't go for him. But the moment I started targeting him, the boss fight became a lot easier to manage because I'd kill him straight up and then I just have the two to worry about.
I'm surprised you managed it that way because as soon as one of them hits a third of health, they all transform into a third tier.
No, it's weird because I think I killed them and I'm pretty sure they're all transformed, but then it became a thing of just chipping. Well, initially I was focusing on one of them.
Yeah.
And then they go to that next phase, which is the bullshit snake phase, which I don't know how to dodge that stuff.
Yeah.
But then I eventually figured, I'm like, maybe splitting. Well, I don't know if I figured it or it just sort of happened. I was splitting the damage between them and then it became manageable and I beat them.
That's essentially how I did it as well. Because especially when the sword guy shifts into his next phase.
Oh my God. Both,
so fast.
No, both of them. And they've got that range. I'm like, how are you so far?
Your sword is so far.
And he whacks you in the air. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So I managed that fight and then that same evening I beat. So actually I streamed on Tuesday. I didn't come across a single boss fight. I spent a lot of time in the Nightmare Realm, though, Nightmare Frontier, whatever the hell that area is called.
What?
It's awful.
Did one of those bag people steal you?
No, I did go there, but I did see the boss in that area, that lightning.
Oh, Dark Beast.
I was like, nope, I'll come back to you.
What's funny is that he's a optional boss.
Yeah.
And most people get him at the start of the game. He was like one of the last bosses.
Yeah, no, I got him and I tried and he hit me once, like all of my health was gone. I was like, nope, I'm definitely not strong enough for this.
I got him right at the end and the shortcut he opens, I was like, holy crap, I'm all the way back here.
He opens a shortcut? Oh my God, don't spoil
it. It's mad. When you see it, you'll be like, oh crap, this map is just...
God.
It's so beautifully designed.
Jesus. Yeah. So it wasn't him, but... Is it the Nightmare Realm? Nightmare Frontier? It's when you go through the university or something.
Oh, Bergenworth.
Yeah, that place. Mm. Yeah, so I spent some time there. But then on Thursday, I fought the Three Shades and then Rom, that beautiful little spider boss. Which I struggled only because that boss is only hard if you're impatient.
Yeah,
you have to be very, very, very patient. And the problem with me is that... It's weird because in real life, I'm patient, but in a game like that, I slip and I make silly mistakes. Mm-hmm. But it's the one time I was like, you know what? I just need to chill and I beat him. He's actually not that hard. If you just take your time, he's really not that difficult.
I remember beating him on a second or third attempt, but it was also it took so long.
Yeah.
It just you just have to chip away, clean out some of his spiders, chip away.
Funny enough, the first time I fought him, I also again got him to his last phase because I was just running at him and brute forcing my way through the fight and I ran out of healing. So
how creepy is he as a spider though? He's very... God.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
And those spiders, the way they move, they stay in formation. They don't straight up run at you. They're just move left and right, move back and forth. I'm like, this is creepy.
Now the game turns into some weird bullshit.
I've already... Wait, what? No, actually, before that fight, it is already weird. You fight these weird beetle enemies.
Yes.
Like with wings
It's becoming Lovecraftian.
Yeah. People in the chat are saying have you read H.P. Lovecraft? I'm like, nope.
This shit's going
to
get weird.
They're like, this is your introduction to H.P. Lovecraft. It's okay.
It's going
to
get... coincidentally, another podcast I listen to, Kotaku Split Screen, Jason Schreier is also playing Bloodborne for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
And... his co-host Kirk Hamilton gave him the lore in Bloodborne is so weird that everyone has different theories.
Mm.
So he gave Jason a quick rundown of what he thought the backstory was. And that shit is deeply rooted in H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. I need to spend more time reading the item descriptions.
Yeah. I mean, even then, you can come up with your own conclusions as to what's going on, but shit gets fucking
All I know is that there's a church and there's some bad monsters and then,
Now there's a blood moon.
There's a blood moon. Oh, yeah. That's actually exactly where I left off, is that I fought that boss. And then I remember reading in the library before that boss, it's like something, when the blood moon happens, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. A child is born, something. Now I fought the boss and now it's like, okay, go find the child or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I just hear this baby crying. I'm like, okay, this is weird.
I would say you're around like halfway now.
Halfway? More,
depending. Like, you see, so there's a part now in Bergenworth, you can go to Kenworth Castle. I never went there because I missed it.
It's funny because I did that fight and then one of my friends watching in chat was like, cool. He's not telling me what to do, but he's like, I think you should go visit this area.
I've never been
just
there,
like a little subtle like prod, like go search that area you were at that you like ignored.
So like, you need something to get there.
And the thing is like, that's all he did. And I ended up in the hospital ward. There's like a weird, initially when you start the game, you start in the hospital ward. You can talk to someone through a door, a female character. Yes. Okay. Now there's a way around. You end up
like
in the hospital.
The roof.
Or something, now I'm in the hospital ward and there's this female character and I clicked. Yep. I'm like, you're the one who spoke to me through the door and she's doing weird things now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but then I killed an enemy in there and then you pick up a letter and it's like, you need to go to Wickham Lane or something. This letter is weirdly addressed to you, blah, blah, blah. Go to Wickham Lane. It's like, okay. So I go there and then the cinematic triggers. It's like, here's a carriage for you. And I'm at the castle, and that's where I left off.
See, I missed it because I only visited the hospital ward later in the game.
I would have missed it as well. It's only because this guy was like, listen.
There's also an item in that ward that I don't know if you picked up.
I picked up one or two things. I can't remember, though.
There's a weird thing.
Don't spoil nothing. I'll stab you.
What's it called? What's the thing connected to your belly button? When you
umbilical cord.
Yeah. That's the one.
Ah, Lens got entering the crowd.
it's like a piece of an umbilical cord that's there.
I know.
And there's three of them. And they're very important if you want the true ending.
Oh, I don't know. This. I would never have known that. So
yeah, I wouldn't. I looked that shit up and I made sure to find all three and one of them's definitely there. But I think there's certain things you need to do for it to trigger to be there.
I'm just running ahead.
Is that lady still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive.
So you didn't fight her?
No.
Okay.
Oh my God! Spoilers.
Well, no. I can't remember why she wants to fight you at certain
point. I wanted to kill her.
I think you can.
And then somebody chats like, "Why do you want to kill everyone all the time?" Like, I'm just curious. I mean, like, come on.
There was something I wanted to ask. As a hint, now that shit's weird in that game. When you're done at Kenworth Castle, go back to the High Cathedral.
Yeah, John Michael told me to do the same thing.
Yeah. Did you ever? While you were walking through the High Cathedral, just die unexpectedly? Like...
I got grabbed by a weird... No, wait,
like
is that the High...
Like energy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're fighting in the graveyard. Go back there.
No, because... Not because of any reason other than there was a note that was like, don't be greedy or something. There was loot. I was like, but there's loot. And I went and I grabbed it. And as soon as I grabbed it, I died. It's
like,
okay.
This invisible thing grabbed you and just crushed
you.
Yeah,
but there's another one that I've discovered. I picked up, there's another part in that game where there's a room where you also go in and you dial, something grabs you. Mm-hmm. But I picked up an item that basically told me to go back to that place and I did it. Mm-hmm. And that creature sent me to, that's how I got to the university and the nightmare realm or frontier, whatever the hell it's called.
I'm assuming
maybe that other
did
thing.
Did you see what the creature was?
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's
like
ugly.
A big thing.
It's like
on
a
the
spider
wall.
Looking giant, multi-armed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go back to the
cathedral. So there's another one of those.
There's a couple of them.
No.
The thing now with the game is that basically there's been monsters around you all this time.
Oh my God.
But you haven't seen them because you don't have enough of that resource insight.
That's what it does. Yeah. Oh my God.
But you haven't seen them. But now that the blood moon's out, you see everything as well.
Okay.
Go get grabbed by that thing again. Some interesting shit happens.
I'm just warning you. I'm going to arrive at the office on Monday. I'm going to walk in and John Marks will be like, Alessandra spoiled so much for you.
No. Have you been grabbed by one of those blood sack people?
Yeah, I've been.
And you've been? I got stuck in that area for so long because I couldn't fight my way out. I got kidnapped so early in the game.
So you're struggling.
Yeah, and then there's so many of them roaming the halls. Mm. Man.
You got to just run through them.
Yeah, essentially, at one point, I was just like, I've got to find a way to just run
Out, yeah.
Yeah, And then when I got back to the hub world place and saw how far it was up the like fast like, jump thing, I was like, oh, fuck
that's
this.
Very yeah. far, yeah. that's my weekly Bloodborne updates.
What else have you been playing?
Just some...
Certain
some
flora and fauna and
some speaking of flora and fauna, some Smash Bros. Have you been playing Piranha?
I played
Piranha
a little bit.
I was about a little bit, but it's fun. We can talk about it for 5 minutes.
He's a good time.
Let's talk about this
Piranha
character, which shouldn't
Smash
exist.
Character. It's so weird, but so good.
I don't know how this character
He's
came to
be. He's got little feet. They're so cute.
But how did this character come to be?
Oh, man.
Think about how in every... Well, not every Smash. Oh, actually, in every Smash, people are like, ooh, who they're going to add to the roster. Whoa. Paw Patrol have just marched into the... like, who's this? Who's the... like, who's... Lenska just referred to the curly-haired dog as my cousin.
Yeah. Matt, you're a poodle, essentially.
This is a weird twist because this is the Paw Patrol dog that always checks if I have drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little did I know, it's actually just overprotect a family. Like, I'm just making sure
you're
okay.
My brother.
You're my brother. I'm just making sure you're on the right path.
Lenska's very happy now. She's got loads of dogs.
Lenska's just being mobbed by dogs. Just being loved by dogs. Piranha Plants.
It's a good time.
Oh, so what I was saying is that every Smash, it's like who they're going to add. Nintendo, I mean, when they added back in the day, like Snake and Sonic and all of them, and it's like, whoa, okay, what's to stop them from digging into other popular franchises? And then it's like, Smash has 5 DLC characters. Like, ooh,
sweet.
I wonder who it could be. And it's like, number one. Oh, wait, is he counted
as
one
of... No, he's not part of the...
But it's still, it's like, no, Smash has 5 DLC, but don't worry, we're giving you this new character. It's like, oh my God, who is it? It's Piranha Plants.
So good, man.
Like,
how did this happen? The Amiibo's out, like, this week. I'm
That's
fucking
cool.
ordering that thing right now.
Straight up.
But this... Okay, so Piranha Plant has little feet.
Yes.
But he doesn't use them when he's walking. He just like
he
hobbles along on the
floor. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You only see his feet when he dashes.
Oh, when he's in the air.
Yeah, or when he dashes.
Oh, because he hops and he dashes.
It's very strange.
But he's what an interesting character. I don't know how Nintendo do this.
Is so good.
Yeah, and
so
you can steer it as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you told me.
Yeah, and you can do damage with it as well.
Yeah, so you can be up.
Yeah.
So if you catch someone,
you just a little bit of damage.
I got a lot of smash, well, like kills, essentially, just like that.
Just that.
That and the neutral B is like you spit out that spike ball.
But even that, figuring out how to use the plant, we don't know what gender this plant is, just for the record. You figuring out how to use it initially, it's like you hold B, it shoots up a spike thing, like, okay.
Yeah, and then
like,
it just drops
so
back
I have to
down.
Be underneath the person to use this. And you figure out, no, you can blow it up and then choose a direction to throw
Man.
It. And it's very strong, actually.
Yeah, if you get it, like Piranha Plant seems like the fighter you want to keep your opponents a bit at range, like medium range.
Mm.
But yeah, that spike ball is so strong.
It's very strong. I
know. It's so strong.
And then
the poison.
Yeah, the poison, you can charge it up and that does a lot of damage.
And
then
you turn yellow if you turn
it.
Yeah, charge it up.
But the one move that's funny, I think it's like the down B or something. You charge up and you snap up into the air.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, so I was like, okay, that's weird. You have to be underneath a person to land this. Until I figured out while you're charging that, you can tip your pot over and use it horizontally.
Oh.
So I'm going to show you before I go.
So you charge it up, you tip the pot over, and then he launches out.
Yeah.
What?
It's very strong. And I think if you figure out the timing, you can obviously do it like diagonally. You'll be able to aim it.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a lot of like nuance to him. It's not just like very simple.
No, but a lot of, I mean, okay, not all the characters, but many of the Smash characters do have that little level of depth. Like one thing I really enjoy with Inkling, for example, you know they've got that grenade they can throw. But if you hold the button down, you'll either throw it... If you hold the grenade charge button on, you'll throw it horizontally.
Yeah.
If you just tap it, you'll throw it straight up.
Oh, shit. Okay.
If you hold it like in between, you'll throw it diagonally. So not every character again, but a lot of characters have that little level of depth that you might not realize, but the more you play them, like, oh.
It's not
more,
just like four cardinal
There's more
directions.
Than meets the eye.
Yeah.
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 Huh. I mean, here's a fun thing I learned with Kirby. I was watching, it was actually from Kind of Funny, one of their... party modes. I shared a snippet on Twitter of Nick playing Kirby, and what he was doing, he was eating people and then just jumping off the stage, shooting them out,
oh,
and then recovering.
That is, so yeah, Kirby can just float.
Kirby's got a really good recovery, but the other characters, not all of them have such a good recovery.
That is actually
so smart. You'd literally just chill on the edge, grab them, jump off, spit them out, and recover, and they can't get up.
I didn't even think of doing that. That is so smart.
It's so funny.
Fuck, that's amazing. Yeah. I want to play Kirby. Have you seen Kirby when he swallows the piranha plants? Very cute.
I actually haven't.
He basically, he's like wearing a piranha plant suit. And his face is coming out the mouth. It's fucking adorable.
What is the neutral move? Is it the... Oh, it's the spark ball. Hey?
Yeah, spark ball. So and then his normal attacks, his combo attacks are super fast.
Yeah.
Like incredibly fast. Have you seen his final smash?
Yeah, that giant massive, piranha baby.
Yeah. It's...
It's one of the boss fights from... I think it was it Super Mario Galaxy? I can't remember. It's one of those games. I recognize, like, ha, I've seen this.
But it can affect, like, multiple fighters. Like, it's not just one.
How it works, I think the poison this big clouds, thing, yeah. No, grabs, it puts a character in each cage.
Yes.
And then it smashes those two down. But while you're walking around, I think you do damage anyway. Yes, yeah. So it's pretty strong.
Apparently you can escape from the cages.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like you have to be quick.
Jizak, yeah, but Piranha Plant, what an addition. And then next up's a Joker. Huh?
Your Conway.
When is he coming out?
They haven't given a date yet. Okay. I'm excited purely for Joker because now there's an amiibo.
Of course you want that.
They should make all five characters the five characters from Persona 5.
No. No.
Morgana the Cat is a Smash character.
I'll take that. Yeah. But they won't do more Persona,
Morgana
surely.
Morgana will be a sis trophy, right?
Yeah. Well, if... With Persona, the Joker will have his own stage, and I'm sure they'll add
the music.
Yeah, I think you'll have the whole library there. Well, some of the music from the
remixed
game.
Oh, nice.
But are they planning to release all of them, I think, by February next year, all the DLC characters?
I think so,
so it's like it should be one every two months. So
I'd say by like April, May.
We should have the next one, yeah.
Hopefully.
I just want to see who else they have.
I'm curious. Because they have so many characters.
I don't know if they'll stop at five, though. Like,
nah,
I think
they'll do more.
I think it'd even be a thing of like once every 6 months.
I mean,
like,
Smash
and
Wii U had loads of characters.
And those are all in the game now.
Yeah. Mewtwo and Cloud.
Cloud
and
is
Bayonetta.
Really good. I enjoy playing Cloud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cloud's hard with his limit break. I don't know. I find him.
His recovery is not great, but the rest of him's awesome. He's special. It's just that nice combo.
It's like Little Mac. I love playing Little Mac, but
his recovery is just bullshit.
You
know, I
mean, you have an uppercut, and if you miss that, you're done.
You did.
And how many times have you fallen off the stage with Little Mac after a charge?
Many times.
Punch? But when you hit someone with that, that's just
it's so good.
You it's just like ding, ding, ding. And when your things charge, oh my God, it's so good. It's so satisfying.
It's 10 out of 10. Smash is still a good time. We played it at the office on Friday.
It's
a lot of fun. And the thing is, we have a new colleague at the office, and she's never played Smash before.
Mm.
Like within 10 minutes, she's having a really great time.
Yeah,
because that's just the beauty of Smash.
And it's bullshit. Like, yeah. It is bullshit. You can press buttons and do incredibly amazing things.
Like, wow.
And when you play in fun mode with all the items on, it gets even more bullshit. Like,
yeah, we played a little bit without the items. That's when it's like proper fighting. Like,
I love the items because then everyone can like get
a leg up on
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that final Smash ball comes, everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm going to get the Smash ball.
It's the best when you know now what the fake Smash ball is. Everyone's like, yeah, get the Smash ball.
Boom.
But now I've tried doing it where you hit that so it explodes and it knocks everyone else up, but not you.
That's high level play.
High level. This is why I'm the best Smash player in Parkview.
Oh, wow.
Hands down.
Wow.
Hands down.
That's some high.
I'm putting that on my CV. Have you been playing anything else, or do you want to save that for next week?
So I'll touch on it briefly, but I think I have more to say next week because I've only played like an hour. But I started playing Wargroove.
Wargroove?
You ever played that Advance Wars?
I didn't. I've heard so much about Advance Wars.
I never played Advance Wars either. So do you like tile-based strategy games? Like XCOM?
I don't mind them.
Yeah.
XCOM's a bit of a bad one to compare to that because I'm like, I hate it when people die.
Okay, it's simpler than XCOM.
Nah,
it doesn't have permadeath. So like each little stage is like a little puzzle, essentially.
Yeah.
You've got enemies and you move tiles, and when you get close, you can attack. And you have like percentages that determine, okay, this guy's going to do this much damage and the person you're fighting is going to do this much damage.
Blah. Okay.
But then there's like cool things like based on units, they'll have specific abilities to make their attack better. So like the pikemen, if they are on adjacent tiles, if you have one pikeman here and another one right next to it, then they will do a critical attack. So they can kill an enemy immediately. Yeah. Swordsmen, if they're near a hero, they'll do the same thing. So there's like synergy between units like that. And that's basically all I've played. It's got a really, really cute pixel art style.
Yeah, I've seen the screenshots. To the point
where I wish it was almost like a 2D Zelda-like because it's just beautiful. There's also a dog. You can have a platoon of dogs as like... they're like cop dogs, which is horrible. You're making dogs fight. But unlike humans who die in battle, when the dogs take damage, they just run away.
I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, they don't die. And the dog is wearing armor, and his name is Caesar. He's cool.
Oh, is it one dog?
Well, there's like one dog character. His name's Caesar. Bluff, bluff.
Bluff, bluff. Is that its catchphrase?
Yeah, yeah.
I choose you, bluff, bluff.
But apparently, I mean, I haven't played Advance Wars, but apparently this is beat for beat, like exactly how Advance Wars works.
With doggos.
With doggos.
Are there any cats in this game?
No, fuck that.
What a terrible game. This is a 0 out of 10 game if I ever saw one.
But it's on a PC and Switch. It's like $130.
Oh, wow. That's super cheap.
It's very cool and it's really good.
Super cheap.
It's... From what I played, I've enjoyed it, but the reviews have been super solid. So.
Oh, that's good. Nice. What a start to the year.
Hey. Yeah, it has been.
That sweet RE2. RE2.
We got a...
We spoke about that property loss. Okay, we did.
Yeah.
You've I think at the time that you'd only finished one of the campaigns.
Yeah, because I finished the other...
You've done the other one.
Yeah, yeah, I did Claire B. It was good. A lot of it's the same, but then there's a whole new portion of the game, which I won't spoil. Yeah. There's a whole new stage. It's really good. It does not make any sense. they try to be like, yeah, this is happening after Leon's or whatever.
But that's the same as OG Aria. Yeah. It's like, no, like they sort of connect the two stories together. It's like you happen to run through the... one part of the police station and there's a cutscene with Leon. You're like, oh, when I was playing Leon, I remember coming here and meeting Claire. But you're like, no, but why are doors still locked? Exactly. And this and that, like, exactly. It makes
why,
no sense.
Why is this weapons cage now locked? But then you'll see a note and Leon's like, your brother's safe. I've gone on further. It's like, so he was here.
Yeah.
So how did all this shit go back to... Yeah, the way they try and connect it is done. Yeah. Like, you end up fighting the same bosses. So it's if Leon was here, this boss is dead.
Yeah. Like, I knew now before you even told me, but I thought with this game being a modern day Resident Evil, they would have addressed that.
Yeah. I guess it's difficult to do, though. Yeah. Because then fans who really enjoyed the original go, oh, well, this is too much of a departure. Yeah.
How cool would it have been if they really were two completely separate campaigns?
Yeah. And they linked up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. But there is a whole new... There's a chapter in Claire's that didn't exist in the original, okay. That's cool. Really cool.
And I wonder if you did it the other way around, if Leon would do the same part or his own unique.
No, he does his own unique. This is unique to Claire's.
Okay.
Claire's thing. Yeah. Nice. So they're like all the same areas, and then there's one part of the campaign where it's like, Leon does this and Claire does this.
Okay, so they'll each have their own respective things. Well, Resident Evil 3, there's no two scenarios to worry about, so they should
I was watching a retrospective, and apparently Resident Evil 3 is really short.
It is super short.
Yeah.
As a kid, when I finish a game way too many times to count, I learned to speed run through it where I could finish it in a little over an hour.
Damn.
And speedrunners today finish a game in under, I think it's about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. That's just sprinting from one side to the other. It's really not that long.
Oh, according to, I watched a bunch of Resident Evil retrospectives. That was never meant to be a numbered sequel.
Mm.
It was meant to be a... shortish spin-off for 2, because it's basically just following Jill Valentine in Raccoon City.
Yeah.
And Code Veronica is meant to be 3.
Yeah.
So that could explain a lot.
Mm. Yeah. If they remake Resident Evil 3, I'll be so happy.
Stars.
That's probably my favorite still in the...
Yeah. Mm. It's great seeing all the speculation. There was a Reset Era thread, which... lots and lots of salt, because I don't know how much of it's true, but... The report basically stated that Resident Evil 8 is in development and Remake 3 is being considered now. But I want to know what Resident Evil 8 is going to be. Is it first person?
Don't get me wrong. I want 8 before I want Remake. But if I just know that in 5 years or 6 years I have Remake 3, I'm like, yes, please.
Take my money. Considering how well RE2 is sold, I it would shock me if they didn't go remake three. What I do want to do now is play the remake slash remaster of
one. The first one.
Because I never played it. But I've got it on PS4 because it was a PS Plus game a while back.
Because I was going to say, I've got it on PS4 if you want. Yeah, I actually have the disc.
It was a PS Plus game. I think I grabbed it.
It's really good.
But it's still the tank controls.
Yeah, but what blows my mind is that, so you must remember, Resident Evil 1 came out in like 96, 97. Mm. This remake came out on the GameCube, only 5 or 6 years later. Okay,
so this is just an up-res of that.
It is like a full-on, like, ground-up remake. But it's the same sort of idea as Resident Evil 2 now, where there's a lot of familiarity. Like, you recognize areas, but they added a whole lot to it, and they added, like, quality of life things, and they just upped different things. You'll see that. And it's weird because visually that game still holds up today. So imagine playing in 2003, 2004, being like, whoa, the lighting in this game. I think it's aged well, because I played it 2-3 years ago and I still loved it.
I only briefly played it on PS1.
Yeah, so. Tank controls, look, it's a pain to go back to that now, but it's part of that experience. So, yeah,
fair enough. Yeah. All I remember is the stupid dog jumping through the window.
Yeah.
Fuck!
OG Resident Evil.
There's no liquors in that one. Liquors were Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd suggest you play one though. Mm. And stream that with your new father. I'll watch.
It's in a mansion with a good old superpowered Albert Wesker.
Yes.
Fuck that guy. Such a dumb character. So stupid. Man, the lore of Resident Evil is stupid.
It's so good.
Man.
I'd give it a 10.
That's why I love 2, because it's so like, hey, there's zombies. Kill them.
Zombies.
Yeah. Then it gets super wild bullshit near the end. Yeah. Anyway.
Should we do game releases?
Should we do game releases?
Yes. We're already running over time. Yes. Let's fly. Have you met us?
Let's fly. We are looking,
even coming out this week?
So we're looking at releases from the 1st of Feb. So that was Friday. 2nd of Feb. Until... Nice. Yeah, 8th, 9th, somewhere around there.
9th.
So, what do we got? We've got Etrian Odyssey Nexus on 3DS. 3DS, that's like,
what?
That's like an RPG type game.
This is a 60 gig SSD.
Yeah, it was my very first one.
I paid like a grand for 60 gig. On the table. I'm like, oh yeah, free SSD. So, and Alessandra's like, no, it's my old one. It's only 60 gig.
Yeah, it's tiny. It can maybe fit like one game on
there. Yeah.
We've got... I'm not going to read all of them. Nope. The good
just
ones.
The highlights.
Away, Journey to the Unexpected. This is like a first-person anime RPG. It's strange. It, like, I've watched the video and it looks really fun. It's got a really unique art style.
First-person?
Fuck, it's a weird, like, game to be, like, first-person. You need to look at the trailer to really appreciate how strange
it is. What's going on, yeah.
But that's out on February 5th, 7th, and 8th, depending on which platform you get it on.
Oh, nice.
Salt and Sanctuary comes to Xbox One finally. February 6th, really good.
Salt and Sanctuary.
Astroneer, official launch, February 6th. It's out on PC and Xbox One first. Interesting. Mm. Then we've got Division 2 Private Beta starting on February 7th. God Eater 3 coming out on PC and PS4 February 8th. Wait, am I going too far now? I'm just checking the date. February 8th is Friday. Okay, so we're going to February 8th. City of Brass coming to Switch on February 8th. That's like a strategy game, if I'm not mistaken. Nice. Pretty good. How's this for a name? Oniken Unstoppable Edition.
Whoa, you can't stop this game.
Can't stop this game. on Switch, February 8th. And then Blue Blaze Central... fuck me. Blue Blaze Central Fiction Special Edition.
Wow.
Blue Blaze is a fighting game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, is it Blue Blaze or Blaze Blue?
Sorry, Blaze Blue. My bad.
I wasn't even looking at the screen.
Blaze Blue. My bad.
This is a different game.
I'm dyslexic. I'm very... I know. That's all for this week. Give you a preview next week. Trials Rising. Hot damn. I want to...
Oh, shit.
That's Metro like Exodus
week.
The week
is
after.
That next week?
And Crackdown 3. Yeah. And Far Cry.
Yeah.
Okay, how's this for a day?
Yeah, it's 15th.
The 15th.
Yeah.
Metro, Crackdown 3, Far Cry New Dawn, Jump Force, and Anthem. Fucking hell. Mm-hmm.
Good luck choosing. Not even the good luck choosing. Why do developers even put you in that position anyway?
But even a better game
than
all of those. Oli coming to Switch.
Nice.
Have you ever played Oli?
I played on Vita. Yes. Yeah.
so good. It's like so one of the best skating games. There's also a game coming out next week called, it's cute, Hacky Sack.
Hacky Sack.
So you know like Hacky Sack?
Yeah.
But this is like a hardcore 2D platformer where you have to keep a Hacky Sack up. It's come out ages ago, but it's coming out to Switch familiar. Now. Hacky Sack. PS4, I mean. Hacky it looks Sack. So cool. I haven't played it, but I want to play it.
Good Lord.
It's game releases.
Not gaming news. What?
Let's fly.
What fresh scandals do we have this
week? What fresh scandals? So, leaked over the weekend and like on Friday is news that Titanfall developers Respawn basically making a Titanfall Battle Royale, and it's called like Apex something.
But didn't that leak say it's like they're going to announce it and release it?
Yeah,
and
it's like basically it's going to be out on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this, there might be
a new Battle Royale. Battle Royale for you. Listen, I'm down for that because Titanfall 2 has some.
That is actually a game I need to put onto my list that I must play.
You haven't played Titanfall 2?
I haven't played Titanfall 2. And it's so cheap. So
yeah, it's really, really. That campaign is so good.
I can finish that in, what, it's like 8 hours?
Less, probably like 6.
Shit, I can do it in 1.5 streams.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how I measure my game time easy. Now. Bloodborne. You said I'm about halfway through, so I've got
There's a level in Titanfall 2 that is just fucking so good. Incredible. Yeah. Nice. When you get there, everyone knows when they get there, they're like, oh, okay, this level. Yeah, no. It's so good. Fallout 76 continues to be a dumpster fire. new patches are reintroducing old bugs now. So
what?
Fucking hell. Like
please
message us if you are still playing this game. I desperately want to know why. Like, not in a I'm going to make fun of you way. Like, I want to know what is hooking you onto this game.
Well, here's an example. So John Michael's big Fallout fan. He hasn't played this game. He's waiting for it to be like dirt cheap just so he can pick it up.
It's been like $100 since.
I know. I don't know if he did pick it up, but it's been very cheap to the point he's going to buy it just to see like, okay, what is this game? Okay, like I'm done.
GameStop in like Germany or somewhere is giving it away free with trade-ins.
With used controllers.
With used controllers, that's correct.
You buy a used controller, we'll give you a copy of Fallout 76.
What a fucking trash.
Real talk, how long do you think this game's going to be live for? Do you think they just kill it this year?
I thought maybe that, you know... Well, like Elder Scrolls Online didn't launch well. It was nowhere near as disastrous as this. But then they fixed it up.
Thing is, like Elder Scrolls, it felt like they fixed it.
Like, yeah, fairly quickly.
Not like straight away, but it feels like Fallout 76 has gone backwards.
Yeah,
I
can see them, like just completely pulling the plug on this.
Being thing. Like, oh, nope, sorry.
Yeah, just fuck, hectic. What else? What else? The PlayStation 5 is most of the focus for Sony's first-party studios. So basically, development is... I'm convinced that some of the quote-unquote PS4 exclusives we've seen are coming to PS4.
They're going
to
come... Death Stranding?
I think Death Stranding...
I think that'll come to PS4.
I think Death
Stranding
will be a PS4... PS5. I think Ghost of Tsushima is a PS5.
You reckon?
I don't think Ghost of Tsushima comes out this gen.
But... What do Sony have planned for this year? Are they just not
They're still announcing some first-party games.
Which I thought, not weird, but I mean, I suppose they have to because there's still like another year to go, let's say, before they launch, or a year and a half till they launch what we think will be the PS5. But it's like this year, it's Days Gone. And then we know The Last of Us 2 is coming, but there's no release date.
I bet that's not coming out this year. I bet that comes out like May, June next year.
I have a feeling it might be this year.
I don't think so.
Because that game's been around for a while now. Think about it. Last of Us 1 came out right at the end of the PS3.
But every time Naughty Dog has announced a release date, they've ended up pushing it back.
Yeah, but how long are they going to push it back for?
Well, the last time Uncharted 4 got pushed back from a November to an April release. So it was like nearly half a year.
Oh, you never know. So I think at E3, they're not at E3, but at some point this year they say, cool, it's coming out late this year. And then maybe they delay it again if they need to.
I don't know,
couple of months. Last of Us 2, come on.
Days Gone looks so boring, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That game is... I'm curious to see how it reviews because it's like... It was like, whoa, he has marketing for Days Gone. And then they've like quietly been like... Days Gone.
The portions I played at E3 were
not
bad.
Good.
Like borderline bad.
I don't want the PS4 to have
not even like, oh, this is mediocre by PS4 standards. Like, this is fucking bad. I do not enjoy
it. I just worry because the PS4, like,
it, we say there's like, well, I'm trying to make a sentence here. The PS4 has been on such a high, like hits after hits, and we know it can't last forever. There has to be like one game, bad game somewhere.
It'll happen.
I think Days Gone.
And I think Days Gone is going to be that one.
I don't want to be that naysayer because that game should be perfect for me. It's a zombie game.
Yeah, it should. I mean, it's got all these great elements, but it's just like dull as fuck. Holy crap. It's really...
It doesn't entice me at all.
Anyway. Did you ever play any of the Alice games?
Nope.
They're really good. American McGee.
Alice in Wonderland games.
His like dark take on Alice in Wonderland.
Was there more than one?
So there was... Alice, the first one. Then there was Alice Returns.
Yeah.
Which was really good. I really enjoyed that one.
RPGs, action games.
They were like hack and slash, like character action games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now American McGee's like properly working on the third one called Alice Asylum. So.
Oh, nice. Interesting.
Yeah. Like I said, I fucking loved the second one. It was gritty and weird and creepy. A good time. But it was really good. Yeah. The developers of Heavy Rain and Detroit, Quantic Dream, are no longer going to be Sony exclusive developers.
Really?
They've got a massive investment from NetEase, who, if you think that name sounds familiar, they're the company working with Blizzard on their mobile Diablo game. They're also the same people who put a massive investment into Bungie recently.
They're working
on a new IP with Bungie. And now they've invested in Quantic Dream for multi-platform games. Fascinating.
What a time to be alive.
So there is, I'm not going to go through it all now, but there is a brilliant article on Eurogamer detailing the complete bullshit that's been happening at developer Starbreeze, the people who made Overkill's The Walking Dead, that really terrible shooter.
That game is delayed on console now.
Yeah, indefinitely. Like, you need to read that article because, like, holy shit.
Is it
that studio, they're like, yeah, it is mind-blowing. And the CEO came out afterwards, the former CEO who was like released a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Basically blaming the staff for not working hard enough to Walking Dead good. But then the staff also only had like 18 months to make The Walking Dead because they had to change engines and whatever. It's a mess. Like, you need to read that story on... It's on Eurogamer. It's really good.
Eurogamer.
No
hot scandals this week.
Ooh, just as you say so. Scandal. Metro Exodus, leaving Steam, going to Epic Store.
Oh my God, this...
Now, this is a tricky one because... Okay, so firstly, everyone who bought it on Steam will get a key for the Epic Store. So you're not losing it.
Oh. But no, I read that if you bought it on Steam, like they'll still launch it on Steam and they'll still release patches and everything on Steam. Is that not true?
I might have read it incorrectly then, but I don't think it's like that.
Maybe they give you the option, but I think let's have a
let's see skim to let's see. Here. For those who already pre-ordered Exodus on Steam, do not fret. Orders on the platform are still available, and will be honored come release date. And any future DLC or expansions for Exodus will also be made available to Steam users. Okay, so. By that wording, it seems like you'll still be able to launch to
play
it on Steam, but you can't buy it anymore on Steam.
Yeah,
they've removed that ability. It's also going to be only a year-long exclusivity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So by February next year, it's going to be back on the Steam store.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
But because it's coming to the Epic Store, it's going to be $10 cheaper because the publisher's getting a bigger cut. To me, this is just Epic, like, showing its face. And I get why people are angry by this, because it's like, you know, it was advertised on Steam, they bought it on Steam, and it was just yanked the last minute. Valve came out and said it was unfair, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I mean, it's pretty unfair that they've had a monopoly on the market forever, so I'm not too sympathetic to Valve themselves, but I definitely think this is going to make them write a clause into contracts that if a game is put up in pre-order, you have to release it. Which is, everyone's like, why wasn't that there in the first place? It's like, well, because Steam never had to worry about that, like, ever.
But what I found hilarious in this whole thing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Metro like one of the most pre-ordered games on Steam now? Because people are like, shit, it's being taken off. I'm like,
this has been some of the best marketing for Metro
yet. I know, but it's like, Well, it's been a mixed, like, marketing. There's no such thing as bad marketing. They say,
that's true.
But people, there's been a backlash against Metro because of this. But I'm like, why? You can buy $10 cheaper on Epic. Why should you just buy it on Epic? Like, yeah, what's the issue?
I don't get it. Some people don't like, you know,
multiple launches.
Epic launcher is bare bones. Like, there's no two-factor authentication.
There's a bunch that they still have to improve.
Yeah, there's a bunch. But
There's no cloud saves. Which is
there's no cloud saves. Yeah. But there's also, like, really good things. Like, just this week, I got a $10 refund from them because Hades, the new game from Supergiant, changed its price.
Oh, yeah?
And they were like, hey, you bought this at this price. The price has become more favorable. We're going to refund you the difference. I was like, what?
What? That's cool.
What the hell? Like,
it's like not even a... Well, they just gave it.
Yeah. That's really like, cool. Steam's never done that. So, and honestly, like, Epic's making these big power plays, and the fact that Steam is noticing is good because they need some competition. I don't think that these sorts of moves are going to kill Steam, but I want there to be... I want Valve to be looking over their shoulders so that they improve the experience for consumers, because right now they've been
chilling a little too long.
Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it's that big of an issue because it's just another launcher. Like, you just scroll your mouse over and hit that double click.
That's that.
But
hey. Oh, is that the news? Sure.
Yeah. Last bit of news, Dragon Ball Z Project Z. Dragon Ball Project Z gets its first official trailer.
Oh, is it another fighting
game? It's an RPG. Basically going to retell the story of Goku. You're going to play as Goku and play all that anime, goodness. So good.
So you're going to look forward to 15 episodes of charging up before fight.
Exactly.
And then when you think you've won, the opponent's going to power up for a good 15 episodes and you're going to start losing. And then for the next 15 episodes.
And then there's going to be a part where Goku nearly dies of a heart attack.
I know.
Yeah. And then you just sit in bed mashing A to get better.
It's good.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great time.
Yep. That's coming out in 2019.
Let's
get to questions.
Fast. Wow, we're doing good. We're in time now. Okay, we missed a whole lot of questions. Well, actually, we didn't miss questions last week. It's just that
we
recorded way too early last week, and Mick sent his in just after. So
we'll get to some of them.
So we'll get
not
to
all of them, because there's so many.
There's like 4 million. Well, let's see.
5 million.
So I have to scroll all the way down. Okay. So he says, we know that Matthew does all his multi-platform at a desk, but what about Caption Barbosa, aka you? Tell us about your setup. So that means that I do everything at the same desk. My PlayStation's on the same desk. My Switch is there.
This is part of the problem of why streaming would be a challenge for me.
For your PlayStation especially.
Yeah. So my PlayStation and Xbox and Switch are all connected to my TV. And mainly that's just because I really like my TV.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather play on my TV than my monitor.
Mm. Well, you do have a nice monitor.
Oh, yeah. I like this monitor, but, like, I'd much rather play on
the
TV.
It's because, what monitor do you have? Can we get one? It's curved.
I could run, like, lots of cables to my desktop because, like, my laptop's not strong enough to encode for streaming. It would be nice if I could just pop my laptop on that table there.
But how would it work though? Because I imagine your PlayStation's doing the heavy lifting on the visuals, obviously, because it's creating the game. Mm. Surely your laptop then is just encoding. Mm-hmm.
But the encoding needs to be incredibly quick.
But doesn't the Elgato do that?
No. So the Elgato is like a pass-through.
Is it just a pass-through?
It's compressing it slightly, but it's not processing.
But is there no way it doesn't do any processing?
No. It's leveraging your CPU, and that's why you bottleneck hectically. So if you want to stream like 1080p at 60 frames, you need a pretty good CPU to keep that encoding
like
high.
The ninth gen
R7. Yeah, like that. Or any desktop one. It's just the laptop one. It's just not fast enough.
Yeah.
Especially on an ultra portable where it's like turned
it's
on.
Super
to
what?
Yeah.
But it's an
R7. It's an R7, but it's like...
It's a mobile R7. Yeah. So it's R3
and then also
desktop.
Having a GPU would help, you know. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think, I get you because you've got your nice big, beautiful screen over there. It's a bit of a mission. But you literally just need to plug in power.
Yeah, I've been thinking of running like an HDMI cable there.
Yeah,
and then keeping the Elgato here so that whenever I want to stream from a console, I just plug it in there, play on the monitor here, but I don't have to move anything.
Okay. Yeah.
So...
A bit of a schlep.
Yeah, but
stick,
a bit of
stick
a schlep.
To PC.
Yeah, a bit of a schlep. But I mean, yeah, that's my thing. They're like on opposite ends of the room, so...
Yeah.
But connected to here, I've also got the... SNES Mini.
Yeah,
and I've got stream the that. PlayStation TV because I bought one so I could play Persona 4 again.
Oh, nice. Stream some Persona
and
4.
And Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, you should stream that. I'll watch. Ooh, watch your frustration. Like, oh, I've got to backtrack through this area now.
And the dungeon's upside down now.
What is
the
going
castle?
On?
What is this
you
castle?
You can totally finish a game without realizing that there's a whole second half.
What is a man? But a miserable pile of
flowers, secrets, bones. I don't know.
Localization.
Whatever. Whichever
have
one.
You haven't watched Castlevania on Netflix?
I still have to see
so
it.
So good.
I know.
So
I need to
good.
Watch it.
There's two seasons now.
I did watch that Fire Festival doc. I finished
Fuck,
it this week.
What a great doc. Did you only watch the one on Netflix?
Yeah.
You haven't watched the new one?
No, not yet. But what a train smash.
What a nightmare. I just can't.
Oh my god. My favorite slash saddest part of that thing is I think it's the event planner has become a meme now for payments.
Yeah, the blowjob for water story.
I was like,
what? Holy crap.
There was a meme going out this week. It's like, select your payment method. It's like Visa, MasterCard, and then like a screenshot of his face.
Face
I'm like, no. Yeah.
I just can't believe that they got like 2 days, not even 2 days, a day out. Like people hadn't started flying in yet. And they weren't at a point yet mentally to say, this is not going to work.
No.
Like, 2 weeks out, they would have seen that this was a fucking train wreck.
Here's a spoiler.
They make it sound like that storm that happened before
was the only reason.
Fuck off. No ways. You had nothing
The thing was a disaster. Although it was, on their part, like bad timing. Because if the storm didn't happen, like people would have still had tents to sleep in, let's
say. Would they?
No.
Would they? They didn't have
But there would be no act, you know.
Oh,
so,
my God.
But my best part of that whole thing is at the end, they're like, we basically lied to people, you know. And then Joel was like, no, we didn't. They call that a... Well, no, there was a... They said it was fraud, I think.
Yeah,
or
it's
something.
Like, I wouldn't call it fraud.
He's like, nah, man. They call that... And even the subtitles is like, false advertising.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
What's the difference, man? My dude. And then on Twitter, he got so angry at these documentaries. He says he's going to fund the development of his own because he's got the receipts and he's going to show the real story. I'm like... Dude,
whatever,
cut
man.
Cut your losses.
Yeah, it's
cut
done. Move on.
Losses. Oh, man. Oh.
Okay, next question.
I can't believe he's not in jail, actually.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What's that guy? Something McFarlane?
Billy
McFarlane.
Billy
he's
McFarlane.
In jail,
yeah,
no.
what a guy.
The balls on that dude to run a scam while he was out on bail.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that part of it as well. And the people who work with him. Like, I get the people who worked with him on the festival because it is like... One of the things that made me realize why they ran with the whole thing was the whole comparison to Woodstock. It's like when Woodstock ran, people still died and there's like a whole lot of drama for the first Woodstock. But today it's like an iconic music festival. So their rationale was like, well, there's a lot that's going to go wrong, but maybe we'll still pull off enough that it'll become an iconic thing. So
yeah,
I'm like,
well,
I can kind
I'm
of
like,
get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But oh my God. And then...
But I think the reason Woodstock exists... Well, didn't fail was because it was so political as well.
Yeah.
Like, completely different motivation to...
I know.
Let's get rich Instagrammers.
But like, I can sort of rationalize, okay, I get why these people ran with it. They knew like something, it's not working, but they're going to see it to the end because whatever. But then the dude who helps the guy afterwards to run scams, I'm
fucking
like, what?
And sending it
you?
All to the email list of the people they just ripped off. Like,
yeah.
I just love how so Lord of the Flies that shit got.
Yeah, it
like,
really
people
is.
People are like... This is tribalism now.
I don't understand the logic of people being like, yeah, so we went and we poked holes in tents and peed on them. I'm like, what does that prove? Like, what are you doing?
It's so stupid. It's just... And I think that's why people had so little sympathy at the time because the only people that were there were like extremely rich people.
Yeah.
Or like people... I guess some people like saved up for this life-changing experience, but most of the time it was just rich people.
Rich
and
people.
No one had any scum for them. They're just like, welcome to the world. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
how did no one die?
So,
like, really, how did no one die?
Just the whole like people just like, it's dark. We're sitting in our tents, like, hoping for survival. Like,
no, and then, oh, and God. It's like, so we saw someone walking around with, like, big packets of toilet rolls.
Stealing mattresses from other tents.
The weirdest thing ever.
Oh, God, so good. Like, really good. Although the people got locked in the airport for, like, 18 hours.
Yeah, but even that, I'm like, what?
that really sucked. Yeah, fuck.
Okay, with Mix, what is your favorite console controller ever? Mine is the Xbox 180 Duke. It's easy. Xbox One controller for me. I love that controller.
I do love the Duke, though. Fuck. I've still got one. The OG. Original one. And I've been tempted to buy the adapter. You know, they remade that... they remade the Duke basically into an Xbox One controller.
Oh, yeah?
The problem is... Because the original Duke only had two triggers, it didn't have the buttons on top. They've had to like put them on the side. It's apparently not a great solution. But I don't even have big hands, but that controller was fucking awesome. It was so big.
So comfy.
I don't think it's my favorite. I think Xbox
One is just like, I have nothing wrong with the PS4 controller. Have you ever held a PS3 controller recently?
It's garbage.
It's like it's compared to the PS4 controller. I'm like, how did I survive on a PS3 controller? It's like... terrible. It's so loud.
The PS4 one's great. Like, the PS4 one's nice. I like the controller. Yeah.
But the Xbox One controller is just like, wow. It's perfect. It's so good.
It's like, the PS4 one's fine. Its battery life is complete shit.
It's awful.
And I prefer asymmetrical thumbsticks to parallel or whatever. Parallelogram.
Lens is throwing a giggle. No one does.
have you haven't used the Elite one of the Xbox
One? No, but I imagine it's really...
It's so the Xbox good. One's just way too a bit better. Like $2,500 for a controller. Like,
how about no?
But yeah, definitely up there.
With autumn, winter approaching, do you guys play games with winter clothing, such as gloves, beanies, sweaters, etc. to stay warm?
How the hell are you playing games with gloves?
Now, when I was staying at my mom, my room got super cold before I put a heater in it. My hands would freeze.
Why did you not put a heater in it earlier?
No, so you must remember at the time, back in the day, the computer was in the study. Remember that
you were going to say heaters didn't exist.
No, like, back in my day. No, so the study had, there's no door. Remember, it's got that open archway.
Yeah.
So you couldn't heat that room, really. So I just freeze.
Oh, so you used to play games there, not in your room.
Yeah. And years later, I moved the PC to my room. And then it was cool, pop the heater in. Yeah, bless. No frozen hands. But yeah, no, I have no issue with, I just put a heater on. It's so warm. So nice.
I will never ever there's a bit of a derail, but it's not really. But I think it was in winter when you recorded that stupid intro to your Five Nights at Freddy playthrough, because you're basically like setting up, and you even recorded yourself turning on the heater.
The heater, yeah.
And then it's like the stupid bay on the bed with all the bags. So good.
Oh my God. That intro is
so good.
That video, I've watched it now. I've cringed in my chair. I could have done.
The best part of that video is you taking off your glasses to see clearer. You're like looking at something, you take off to look closer. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Completely unscripted.
So good. So good.
I should steal that video, put it on my YouTube channel.
Man, fuck, I love that video so much. Please tell me you've shown that to Lenska.
Yeah, she watched. We were dating back then.
No, you weren't.
No, we 100% were. Definitely I'm sure we not. Were.
Or at least you hadn't told me.
Have you watched the Five Nights at Freddy video yet? Lenska? Yes.
Have you seen that intro where he puts the teddy on the bed and he throws a bunch of bags on it?
Yes. Okay, yes, so good, we were dating back then.
So good.
It's like early days. She's like, why am I dating this guy?
Should be like the first thing on the date. Like, hi, I'm Maddie. Look at my YouTube. Hi,
subscribe to my channel.
Okay. Good thing you didn't do that. Now you're getting married. Good thing.
I'm getting married. Oh, yeah. Imagine my life could have an alternate reality. I show Lenska that video. She's like, no, this won't work. Okay. If the name Checkpoint Chat was taken, what other names did you guys have in the pipeline? We actually didn't. I don't think I had any names. It was like, cool, we want to start a podcast. What name do we have?
Yeah, I think that was one of my
first
suggestions.
You were straight up like, well, I like the idea of marrying this and this, and we want it to be a discussion between us and our listeners. Like, cool, I'm down for that.
The reason when I did stuff with Cliff Central, I had an idea. I didn't have Checkpoint Chat as the name, but I had Checkpoint as a name.
Mm.
So then when we started our own thing, that was still fresh in my mind because I just thought it was really cool. I love Checkpoint. Like the idea of that is a very game thing. Like,
yeah.
I
think Checkpoint is taken though.
Yeah, so Checkpoint is taken by a organization in America that America. Does stuff for like mental health through gaming and stuff. It's really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was a concern when I picked the name because you're I was like,
these people doing such good work, star name. Yeah,
exactly. That and also like just SEO, like you don't want to be, but at the end of the day, Checkpoint Chat worked and it's on platforms where Checkpoint doesn't have a podcast. Yeah, so I was like, okay, it's fine.
Real good, real good.
Also, check out Checkpoint if you want to help out. They do cool work. They're always at E3 with the Extra Life. They're always there as well.
Cool.
Yeah, but we didn't have any other names, I don't think. We took a long time to get settled on the logo.
My only feedback on the logo is like it has to include yellow. And that.
Yeah, the yellow.
Well, and then I was like, that's it. And then look at our logo today.
And some of the fonts are really weird. Like we went through a couple of fonts, but I'm pretty happy with where we settled.
I like it. It'll last us a good decade. Oh my God. Those dogs killing someone's on our side.
Yeah. Don't pull over into the slow lane. No.
Like, why is there a dog in my boots? What's happened? The next question from Wesley Fick. He says, have either of you personally experienced the awesome power of our Lord and Savior, Shaggy?
This meme is so good, but so dumb.
Where did this meme come from?
I don't know.
I don't know.
These Shaggy memes are unreal.
I don't even know where to begin.
Basically, it's like Shaggy is like this ethereal being that just... Yeah. Hosted like or like took over the body of the actor in the movie, and it just gets wilder and wilder.
So, and Shaggy's like, there's a whole lot of memes for those that don't know, there's a whole lot of memes going about now where it's like Shaggy really is this almighty being, super powerful. I'm like, I don't know, have we experienced the awesome power of our Lord and Savior Shaggy?
I mean, I've experienced the almighty power of his memes,
I've experienced the memes, memes are really good.
I mean, you know, this podcast wouldn't be possible without the almighty power of Shaggy.
No, I mean, memes...
He's actually both Matty and me.
Combined. With my hair and your power.
What? Yeah.
Wait, are we two separate... This is confusing.
We as people have never podcasted. It's always been Shaggy.
It's always been Shaggy coming through. Mm-hmm. Welcome to our cult. This is where we brand...
This is actually Shaggy Chat.
Shaggy Cast. No, Checkpoint Shaggy.
Wow. This is Shaggy Point. Getting dangerous in the name.
We're going to get sued. Who's Scooby-Doo? Is it Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah.
We're going to get an email like, how dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you besmirch our Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Whoa, what?
We're going to sacrifice you on the altar to Shaggy. Some of the best is where they use this meme to justify some things in the cartoons. Like, you know, in those stupid chase scenes, like he would come out one door and then teleport to another. It's like, here's Shaggy demonstrating his awesome power of teleportation.
So, like how? Guys, come on.
Some of the memes are like dark as fuck though. It's like the cameraman looked at me for more than 2 seconds and his head exploded. It's like, because he couldn't take it. I've used 0.5% of my power.
Yeah.
Did you see Ed Boon tweeting out, because there's a petition to get Shaggy.
It's a playable character.
So now he tweeted out a screenshot of basically Scorpion fighting Shaggy. And everyone's like, holy fuck, it's happening.
The actual reality is that Shaggy's the next Super Smash character.
Oh my God.
With Waluigi.
Oh my God, they can't contain him in one amiibo.
That's why you have to buy 5 of them.
each piece. He's like Exodia and Yu-Gi-Oh. You have to have a card for every piece of Shaggy.
And he comes together to form Shaggy. So the first character is an S. Next character is H. Okay, enough of Shaggy. Last question comes from Abe Wilson. He says...
Abe underscore Wilson.
He says, I've only... Wow. Owen Wilson. Abe Wilson. Wow. I've only ever played... Wow, Shaggy. I've only ever played Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm. With the release of the Resident Evil 2 remake, are there any other Resident Evil games worth picking up which are playable on PS4? Well, you heard earlier, I don't know.
If you enjoyed 4, pick up Remake 2. Holy crap.
Yeah, no, Remake 2 definitely, but... I'd say 1 is a must, the remake, but it's tank control. So it should be cheap now. I think it's worth the risk. See if you enjoy it. It's like the perfect blend of what the first Resident Evil game with, like I said, although it's 2004 visuals, they still hold up. The game's beautiful. So it's a good balance.
Yeah, it looked really good. Like why I thought it was actually a recent remake.
No, it's old. That game's like 14 years old now.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So I suggest picking that up if you can... stomach the tank. It's not that bad, but if you can put up with the tank controllers.
It's different, especially
it's just a different way of playing.
Your first Resident Evil was 4.
Yeah, it might be difficult to go back to that. Yeah. Although I think in that game you can turn off tank controllers and that you can like sidestep and stuff.
Oh, thank
if I'm
God.
Not mistaken.
Okay, sidestep.
So there is like that quality of life thing that will help you play the game, you know, stomach it a bit easier.
Yeah, Remake 2 is essentially 4 but scary.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. And also like 4 was the first venture into like action adventure territory where it wasn't really survival horror.
Yeah.
You always had ammo, you always
If you enjoyed 4, is Resident Evil 5 available? It is.
I was also thinking, I don't think it's on PS4.
I have a feeling it's available on PS4.
You
I'm sure 5 is good. Yeah, I'm sure they did like a whole, not remake, like a HD like relaunch or something. If that's available on PS4, find a friend and play it with a friend.
It's better co-op.
Do not play that game alone. Play it with a friend.
It's way better co-op.
But other than that, there's also Revelations.
Also like 5 is straight up action game.
Yeah.
Like zombies drop ammo. Like you,
but it's
not
a lot
horror,
of fun.
It's linear. It's a lot of fun, but it is
straight
it's
up
not 4
shooty
and
Mac
it's
shooty,
definitely
yeah.
not 2.
No.
It's the furthest from 2 you can get.
But it's so much fun.
Revelations
2 is... Revelations 1 is again, if you want more of like a Resident Evil 4 feel, Revelations 1 is great.
That's the one on the ship.
Yeah, you play as Jill Valentine. You're alone on the ship and, you know, it's narrow hallways. That's quite cool. You're not fighting zombies. You're fighting weird
creatures. I played it on 3DS and it was difficult to control.
I played on 3DS. So I had no issues. It's because you can't sidestep. You have to aim and shoot, which is... Revelations 2 was like surprisingly a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of people dig that.
It's a weird thing because you play as two people, so you have to swap perspectives, but it just works.
Claire Redfield and...
Moira Burton, who's Barry Burton's daughter from the first game, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then you also play as Barry Burton this weird little girl who's got like weird powers. Play the game. It's a lot of fun.
I heard it's more survival horror.
Goes back to the roots, and it's episodic. So it's 5 episodes, and each episode's like 1.5-2 hours.
Neat.
So play it in little chunks. You can pick up the first episode for like nothing if you want to try it out before
that's
you.
That's definitely on PS4.
Yeah, that's on everything. You can play that on Switch, PC, everything.
Oh, yeah,
it's
on Switch now even, And then 100% Resident Evil 7.
Yes.
Again, these are all... So I think... Resident Evil 4 is like very unique and it treads the line between survival horror and action.
Yeah.
And then, you know, games on either side of it either lean really hard into action or really hard into survival horror. So you're not going to find a Resident Evil with the same balance, I think. But I think Resident Evil 7 and Remake 2 are the most beautiful ones out there and the most pure Resident Evil experiences you can get. 7
it's
is
so good.
Fucking good.
Yeah, and 1 is just the OG with
the OG.
Beautiful visuals.
But Remake 2,
so good.
Shit,
I need to play it.
What a game.
I'll play it soon. I want to pick it up on PC.
I can give you the disc.
How does it run on OG PS4?
I don't know. I don't have an OG PS4. But apparently it runs really well across all platforms.
But PC, it's like...
The thing is,
I have a PC now that can actually run everything. So I'm like...
You'll run that thing at 60 frames, no problem.
Beautiful.
No problem.
Take it.
Yeah.
Done deal. And that's all the questions we have. And we're under an hour and a half. How did we manage this? We spoke about
we're under an hour and a half by like a minute.
No, about 2.5 minutes.
I started this recording early. If you want to get in contact, how do they get in contact, Maddie?
They can email us at a checkpoint chat podcast, reset the counter. Or
at gmail.com.
Or at gmail.com. Or you can just tweet at us at checkpoint chat. Or
DM us.
You can go to Facebook and find us at Checkpoint Chat as well. It's like facebook.com/checkpointchat.
Reset the counter there.
You can find me on Twitter at Matthew Figg.
Me on Twitter at Caption Bob Gerson.
Caption.
As in like caption. Caption.
Ho,
my
ho,
caption.
Ho. When you stream, that should be all your phrase.
Caption, my caption.
Like what? And if you like what you hear, even if you don't, drop us a rating on your nearest podcast platform. Give us some stars.
Give us
some words. I hate this 1 star because they don't talk about, they don't respect our Lord and Savior Shaggy. That's fine. Tell us.
Do you get money from bits on Twitch?
Yeah, it equates to actual money. So 100 bits is a dollar.
Dope.
Yeah, throw bits at me.
How do I get bits? Do I have to pay for bits?
You pay for them on Twitch itself. Mm. This is where I plug myself. I stream a
cheat. What's your channel?
Twitch.tv/hairyknees. As it sounds, hairy knees, one word. I stream on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 p.m. till late. I'm still on that Bloodborne train.
What does Lenska do while you stream? Sleep?
She sleeps. She's like, bah, I'm off to bed.
But is there a door to your bedroom or is it open?
Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't woken up because I'm loud AF.
Yeah, you are, especially
like, why is this bus so bullshit? Oh, shit, I'm being noisy. Go next morning. Did I wake you? No. Lenska's head hits that pillow and she's dead.
But isn't
she's
it
actually
like
dead?
The cats wake you up and not her.
The cats wake me up. I'm like, oh my God, the cats were so restless and all such. Like, oh, I didn't notice. Like, how? They were meowing and everything. So, yeah.
Do the turtles ever wake you up? I mean, the tortoises? Like, come and crawl.
They're noisy in the afternoon when they're having some afternoon shenanigans. It's exactly what you think.
Okay, got you. We don't need to get into
two males, one female. Yeah, you put the pieces of that puzzle together.
It's flipping her over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
That noise. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get out of here.
I'm done.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on 41.
Episode 41. We'll have a Harley Davidson in the next episode.
With little like tassels on the handlebars.
Why would you put tassels on your Harley Davidson?
So that people know that you're going fast.
Either. No.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.